The epistle to be read today for the Feast of Christ the King is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we give thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the powers of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and in him. And he is the before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy, because in him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on the earth and the things that are in heaven, in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Holy Gospel, it's taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it to thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am king. For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, that I should give testimony of the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am king, for this was I born, and for this I came into the world." The words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In 1525, Francis Xavier was a very successful student in Paris. Once he received his degree, he went on to teach philosophy at the University of Paris. Now, at the time, a celebrated professor was often more influential than even most kings. And thus, with his intellect and his mastery over men, Xavier was sure of a successful career as a professor. And he had seemingly had no higher aim than to acquire fame in this position as teacher. But in 1529, St. Ignatius Loyola met him and won him to the cause of heaven. And so, instead of following a promising career as a professor, Francis listened to the call of Christ. He accepted it, and he left the classroom to conquer a world. He set out to conquer the world for Christ, his King. Then and forever after, Francis gave himself unreservedly to gain men for God. He labored valiantly as a soldier of Christ. And after a brief apostleship amongst his countrymen in Rome, he was sent by St. Ignatius to the East, where for 12 years, like another St. Paul, he wore himself out, bearing the gospel to India and Japan. During these years, he underwent many trials, even from those who were supposed to help him and encourage his work. But they were jealous of Francis and cared more for themselves than for the glory of God. However, neither their opposition nor any other difficulty which he encountered could make Francis Xavier slacken his labors. He was ever preaching, baptizing, hearing confessions, discussing with the learned, and instructing the ignorant. Yet, all of this was done with the greatest care, as he tells us in his writings. At all times, he sought to promote God's glory and to save souls. Now, one day, St. Francis Xavier baptized a dying child of a poor Indian. When the child died, St. Francis broke forth in joyous gratitude to God. And the people wondered why he wept with joy when all around him wept with sorrow. Today he said, "I am sufficiently rewarded for all my labor and all the painful journeys I have made, for all that I have undertaken since I came to India. For," he said, "I have sent one more child into heaven to glorify God." And thus we see that St. Francis Xavier understood the value of a soul, which is worth even the loss of one's life. Now, after his mission to Japan, he resolved to go to China, even though no one was allowed to enter it. Nonetheless, he resolved even to risk his life to force entry into China. But God took him to himself before he could ever reach China. St. Francis died on an island just off the Chinese coast in 1552. And it is truly a matter of wonder that one man in so short a time could have visited so many countries, traversed so many seas, and preached the gospel to so many nations, and converted so many infidels. St. Francis Xavier is considered the greatest missionary since the time of the apostles, and the great number of souls he saved and brought to the light of the true faith entitles him to this distinction. Now, in the gospel for today, we read our Lord's declaration before Pilate that he is truly a king. The gospel begins with the trial of our Lord before he was sentenced to be crucified. And so we see Pilate taking our Lord into the hall to question him. He asks Christ, "Are you a king?" Jesus answers that his kingdom is not of this world, but if it were of this world, his servants would surely set him free. Pilate therefore asked him again, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered that he is a king. And he goes on to say, "For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, that I should give testimony of the truth. And everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now, for today's feast of Christ the King, in the gospel we read that our divine Savior declared himself to be a king. For he is truly the King of Kings, and all men are to serve him. All of us, no matter our vocation, are called to promote his glory and to help save souls by our prayers and our charity. All Catholics are called to be soldiers of Christ, Christ our Lord and our King. He asks each one of us to spread the message of his Sacred Heart, to show people and to teach them the love of the Sacred Heart. You know, today there are many young men who join the armed forces. They go to fight for their country, for their families and their loved ones. This is noble. But what is even more noble and most sublime of vocations is to fight in Christ's army. As St. John Bosco says, courage, saving souls, is the most divine of tasks. So as soldiers of Christ, and of course especially as priests and religious, we fight against the devil and the powers of hell. But, my dear faithful, you are also called to be in Christ's army. For all of us must fight in the battle for saving souls. And like true soldiers, we too fight for our family, our friends, and our country, for the souls of all the people. And we even fight for the entire world, the souls that are in the entire world. We do this, first of all, by our prayers. For by prayer we can obtain any favor. By our prayers, we help to save souls much more than we can even imagine. And so be faithful to your daily prayers, especially the rosary, and frequently and devoutly receive the sacraments. To be good soldiers, you must also follow the laws and command of your king. And so by being virtuous Catholics and obeying the commandments, you can be good soldiers. By being charitable and patient, you can be a good example to others and influence them. You can influence others at your work by being patient when things go wrong, by being patient with your children, yes, correcting them, but patiently. By showing that Christ-like charity to everyone, you can be an example to others and thus influence them and maybe even convert them. We can also help save souls by making sacrifices. And this especially includes doing our duties well. You know, if we accomplish the little duties imposed upon us by our state in life, whether it is taking care of your children or providing for your family, you can win many souls to the love of the Sacred Heart. This is true for all the little things and the little trials of daily life. For by generously and cheerfully accepting them, you will be on the road of saving your own soul and, in fact, saving many other souls. Just think about the example of St. Therese, the little flower, her little way. She is the patroness of missionaries. Imagine that. She, the patroness of all missionaries, and yet she lived to be only 24 years old, and she never left the convent. But by her prayers and sacrifices, she saved many souls. For you know, no matter how insignificant our prayers and sacrifices might seem, they are of great worth to God when done for love of Him. And thus, like St. Francis Xavier, we can save many souls by our prayers and sacrifices, and by offering these up on behalf of the souls. St. Francis Xavier knew the value of just one soul, and thus, like a good soldier of Christ, he spent his life in the mission of saving them for his King and Lord. And so if we realize the value of one soul, we too will leave nothing undone to help save as many souls as we can. And therefore, we must generously answer our Lord's call to fight in His army. We must be willing to make the sacrifices and win souls for our King. Let us then strive to perform our daily duties well. Be a valiant soldier of Christ, and perform all your actions out of love for your King, who is your Lord and Savior. If the ungrateful world won't listen to its King, let us make up for their ingratitude. So many souls today reject the King of Love, but let us do all we can to save them in spite of themselves. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.